From the Valley of the Sun, bringing you real hard-hitting news and views that will shock the political clowns and spin your head around. Here's Michael Herzog with The American Awakening.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the latest edition of The American Awakening. As always, we have new articles posted at the website, theamericanawakening.org, and I invite you to go in and peruse them at your convenience. And also, there's a chat button, should you choose to kibitz with your fellow listeners. The call-in listen line is 351-999-5116 for those who may be, well, maybe on the road or not next to your computer. Shout out to all of those at KYAH there in Delta, Utah. Welcome to the American Awakening. Now, we have tonight, folks, a special show for you. My Friday co-hosts will be with me today as we're going to expose many corrupt, covert and despicable charlatan liars for who they really are, from whence they came, and strip the facade of who they pose themselves to be. Remember the McCarthy era, folks, attempting to expose communists in America. The 1962 and 63 Senate hearings on non-diplomatic representatives of foreign principles in the United States, conducted by Senator Fulbright. Well, both McCarthy and Fulbright were right. And tonight, Brendan's going to break it all down for us as to why they were right and who and what we are really dealing with, as he's going to rip off their mask and expose them for what and who they were and are. And this report is critically important and may well take more than one show to deliver, folks. So if we don't get it today, we'll get it the next time I have Brendan on, which may very well be tomorrow. I'm not sure. Brendan, how are you as you look out into the future of Tuesday morning, June 19th in Malaysia?
Yay, Mike. Yeah, I'm really good. And how are you over there in America, in Phoenix, Arizona? Charlie Clive, one of my favorite country in Western.
I'm still hanging out in yesterday, but I can't do anything about it. Okay, anyway. You know, Brendan, you emailed me, and every time you email me, it's a mind blower. The title of tonight's show is Russia / Israeli Spying, the Moscow, Tel Aviv, and New York Axis. And we're going to rip the mask off these people and let you know who they are, where they came from, and what they're all about, what their political leanings are, and why we have to do something about this. So with that, I'm going to, you know, Brendan, I really don't want to start this. I've got an affiliate in Florida that's going to be with us here just in a couple of minutes, and I would rather, I think, kind of wait to jump into this.
Let's kibitz a bit.
Okay, open it up.
Well, first, let me tell you this. I steal most of my stuff, but I will tell you where I steal it from. I want to thank Joseph Davies. I want to thank John Swin. I want to thank, rest in peace, Nick Spiro, who put me onto a lot of this. I want to thank Diane C., we'll call her that, the grandma from Tennessee, who's doing a lot of legislative research, pointing out legislation, showing the legislative tie between socialist, Marxist, racist Israel has been legislatively tied to the United States. I want to thank Diane. I want to there's a whole host, and I'm scared to miss people because my brain's a little bit off. But there's a whole, Jaleel, there's people Twittering, there's Fitzpatrick Informer doing his stuff online. There's a whole bunch of people from all sides of the political spectrum very keen to reinstitute the verbiage of communism, the verbiage of McCarthy, the verbiage of Fulbright, all of these people in the 50s and 60s, old General Eisenhower and then President Eisenhower and his warnings and this infiltration of the United States.
Let me stop you. Okay, we're going to take that one-minute break, and then I'm going to welcome my affiliate there in Crestview, Florida, and we'll jump right into this. Be right back, folks. Stick around.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back, and I want to welcome those of you that are joining us from WXEI and 95.3 FM in Crestview, Florida. And before we get into this, I want to thank the listening audience. We sold a whole bunch of bottles of Extendivite last Wednesday when Don Wiskin was on, and I want to thank everybody very much. You'll be happy you made the decision to do it, and it makes me look good to my sponsors. So thank you so much for that. Now, jumping into this, folks, we're talking with Brendan O'Connell. For those of you in Crestview that missed it, just coming back from the news, we're going to do some an expose. We're going to expose some criminals for who they really are and where they came from. But basically, to do that, we have to go back into the past to show the present and the future. The infiltration of the United States began long ago, and we are now seeing its fruits as the U.S. heads for collapse. This has been written about in detail since McCarthy and Senator Fulbright, right in front of us. Now, I want to bring to your attention the front cover of this hearing. It says the activities of, and by the way, this is dated, folks, May 23rd, 1963, just about 6 months before President Kennedy was assassinated. The title of it, Activities of Non-Diplomatic Representatives of Foreign Principals in the United States. The hearing before the Committee on Foreign Relations in the United States Senate. So with that, Brendan, you want to kind of turn us on to a little bit of that and let us know where we're going?
Oh, look, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. This information has been around for a long time. Hopefully we can string it together into a coherent narrative so we understand Putin and his role. We understand Netanyahu. We understand China. We understand the founding of Israel. We understand the founding of China in its modern form. We understand that the Israeli state, as Jack Bernstein, an American Jew, a loyal American Jewish patriot, stated in his book, My Time in Racist Marxist Israel, that Israel is a kibbutz. It was founded by Russian and Polish Jews. There's not a single Israeli prime minister who wasn't either born in the Ukraine, in Russia, or in Poland. Every single last one of them. Or they were the sons and daughters of people who emigrated into then the Palestine Mandate in the 1920s. And we can trace this historical record all the way over to the 1917-1919 transfer of the same people, the same Russian, Polish, communist Jews who came over to the United States, and they became the Bronfmans, they became the Rahm Emanuels. I mean, we had Benjamin Netanyahu's father, real name Milikowski from Poland, was the personal secretary of the arch poster boy for evil Zeva Jabotinsky, who was, of course, born in Russia himself, who died in New York. I mean, I've never seen so many Russian communists and Jewish communists. They all seem to die in New York, and that's why it's a New York-Moscow-Tel Aviv axis. Now, once you trace the past, you can understand the present. You'll understand Syria. You'll understand the current relationship between Putin and Netanyahu to some degree, which is very dynamic and, I believe, shifting. And we'll understand China. We'll understand the Belt and Road Initiative as the pan-Eurasian Soviet-era dream. And we're going to put a lot of things happening in the news today, including the President of the United States, Donald Trump, his role. We'll understand the role of the U.S. military, and we'll understand potentially who Jim Mattis is, the Secretary of Defense, and I prefer to call Jim Mattis the President of the United States. And we can begin to have some hope that by understanding the past, understanding this incredible amount of information that's just been sitting there for years, but it hasn't been put into a coherent narrative properly. And that's what we're hoping to do in some part today, and understand this is the work of 5 or 10 people, including Jeremy Rothkoschel, Greg McCarron of The Antidote, and a whole range of others. And forgive me if I've missed your name, but this is a group effort. And as far as I'm concerned, Mike, I think you're really the first alt media personality out there that's really going to present this into a relatively coherent narrative, which will be ongoing and will be a little dynamic. But the listeners are going to go, aha, I get it. I get where this is heading. I understand names like Amitai Etzioni. You understand communitarian law, which will be the future law, the merging of the capitalist and communist system, all coming out of Israel. You'll understand the technology is coming out of Israel, and matching that with China's capacity. It just so happens that these modern-day incarnations, who are now, quote-unquote, the official enemy of the United States, military and economic competitors, these military and economic competitors were all founded by the same people. and we're having a battle right now. They've got all the rest, but they haven't got the United States quite yet. I mean, it's literally hanging on by a thin thread, because there's enough American Jewish patriots in the system who are also fighting this. Remember, it's American Jews who are exposing a lot of this. And we have enough people like Senator Fulbright. We have enough people like Joe McCarthy, General Eisenhower, General MacArthur, and hopefully Jim Mattis will be the future for America, that hopefully the U.S. military is going to very quietly, I hope, behind the scenes, be cleaning this out. And understand, nothing is new under the sun. I'm not a genius, you're not a genius, but this is just people putting together the dots to give you a coherent narrative. And God willing, as far as I'm concerned, Mike, you're the first, and thank you for the opportunity to put it into a good professional level production that your radio show is.
Well, I'll tell you what, with the hours and hours and hours of research that I've done into this, there was a penny that dropped in my head, and I said, yes, this is what connects all the dots. Now, I'm going to take just a couple minutes here, and I'm going to surmise what he just said by his own writing, and I'm talking about Brendan, and then we're going to shift gears and we're going to get into this deeper. Israel is a Jewish Bolshevik creation from start to finish, just as Soviet Russia was, and just as the United States has become. Israel was a creation designed to give more than a national homeland for Jews and control of Jerusalem and the increasingly important Middle East of the Suez Canal and the oil fields. It was a crime bunker, an entry point for Soviet communist penetration in the United States under the cover of a biblical Israel, which Christian Americans fell for and continue to fall for. There is not a dime's worth of difference between Zionism, Jewish nationalism, and Bolshevism, Jewish internationalism. Communism, one and all. And now we see, as Lark in Texas attests, the third way emerging from the same people out of Israel, communitarianism and the work of Amitai Etzioni, as Brendan just said, the technology for the smart cities, the gulags, the kibbutz, Israel, new laws for the smart cities, gulags and kibbutzes, Israel. Israel is literally legally tied to the United States and is now transferring the United States' wealth, its technology, and even its people, the technology specialists, over to its sphere of influence, the new Rome, the capital of the Pan-Eurasian Belt and Road Initiative, Jerusalem, Greater Israel. Remember this, folks. One belt, one road, Israel's role in China's flagship policy. You got the floor. Go ahead, Brendan.
Wow, what a great intro. Yeah, that's stringing this together is not easy. It's dynamic in terms of it's changing. I don't believe, for instance, my view of Putin has changed to the point where I see him as a genuine nationalist, Stalinist figure who, out of his own embarrassment, has brought with his organized crime group Russia back from the brink. However, there is clear that he has a very close relationship with Netanyahu, his fellow Slav. Netanyahu, of course, is Polish heritage, Slavic heritage. So is obviously Mr. Putin. Mr. Putin, of course, came out of St. Petersburg, which is the home of the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution, its spiritual home. He's been surrounded by Russian Jews, and I mean, they're ostensibly Jews. How much they go to synagogue, we don't know. They may be just the usual lightweights that you meet, like there's many lightweight Catholics like myself who don't seem to enter a church too often, but we keep calling ourselves Catholic. So there is the cultural aspect to being Jewish as there is to being a Catholic. But we see the same pattern emerging time and time and time again. We see people coming to power with very strong links to ostensibly Jewish connections and ostensibly Jewish organized crime, whether it's the organized crime coming out of Atlantic City and the New York, New Jersey mob, who are all old Zionists, all old Bolsheviks coming out down through Chicago, Canada, and the Bronfmans, the Rahm Emanuels, the David Axelrods. It doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum, the same advisors. I mean, Rahm Emanuel is Obama's main advisor, a ruthless nutcase who served in the Israeli military but not the U.S. military. His mother was a Mossad agent, for crying out loud. And you have this level of infiltration, which started probably in 1870 but really got going 1917, 1919. And we're seeing those planted seeds all the way back then now transpiring and now growing into this One Belt, One Road project. It's $7.2 trillion all the way out of the City of London, zeros and ones from Lord Jacob Rothschild, that's been placed in the bank account of China. And China is throwing that money around left and right over the whole region. It's a huge infrastructure project taking in land, it's taking in sea routes, it's linking Africa, the Pan-Eurasian continent, and, of course, Europe. Now, when you read your Stalinist era, Soviet era type planning strategies, long-term Soviet strategy, well, guess what? This is straight out of the long-term Soviet-era planning. Get rid of NATO. Why did Mr. Trump, the President of the United States, state very early on in his campaign, we're going to get rid of NATO? When I heard that, my ears picked up, and I'm on the record over 18 months ago saying, what the hell is he talking about? That's straight out of the Soviet-era strategy. Get rid of NATO. It needs reforming. I don't know about dismantling. And then you start to hear this talk, and then you see who is surrounding Donald Trump, and you start to go, ah, that's why we're hoping on Jim Mattis and the U.S. military is going to stop that and get Trump back on track, which I suspect is happening.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, again, I'm going to interject. We're going to go to a break real quick. But these steps will allow Israel to enjoy the benefits of the new global connection that China wishes to establish. And historically, the land of Israel has been a strategic link between Asia, Europe, and Africa. And now is the time to revive that role. And, you know, for those of you who are going, what? This is just way out there. This is too much to believe. Oh, no. No, because I'll tell you what, we're going to go to the break. And when I get back, I'm going to share something with you right out of the Jerusalem Post, talking about that One Belt, One Road, which Brendan McConnell or O'Connell and I are speaking about, by Gilad Kabilo, that was written September 3rd, 2017, which attests and affirms everything that Brendan and I are talking about today. So, folks, I'll tell you what. Wrap your head around this. Don't get your mind too blown, because this is, again, as Brendan said, it's very, very time-consuming and technical to try to draw all the dots and connect this stuff. But we're going to try to lay it out as cohesively as we can and show you exactly who these people are, where they come from, what their roots are, and where they were, and what political capacity they have. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. My special guest, Brendan O'Connell. Israel will be the center for this development, folks, and like a vampire, Israel has sucked the U.S. dry, and it's getting ready to abandon it, leaving it to plunge into chaos and a police state. And this has been planned a long time. Now, getting back to this article, it says, this week, China announced plans for a four-point peace plan between Israel and the Palestinians. China's recent interest in the conflict has raised many eyebrows and begs the question of what the real reason is behind the eastern behemoth's desire to throw its hat in the ring. China's main concern with the region relates to its flagship, as Brendan says, One Belt, One Road plan. The initiative seeks to establish trade routes based on the Silk Road route and Maritime Silk Road, and thus allow more efficient export for Chinese production while increasing the country's involvement in global affairs. It has invested billions in infrastructure, including a massive new train route reaching from Beijing to London. Brendan, I thought that all of the mainstream media drum rolling is all China is our enemy. What's up with this, Brendan?
Well, isn't it amazing? Here's the metaphor I could come up with. Imagine you're in a house and three men turn up. One's name is Vladimir Putin, the other name is Xi Jinping, the Chinese premier, and the other one is Benjamin Netanyahu. Three men come to your house with a six-pack of beer. Your attractive wife's there. You go to the toilet and you come back and everyone's disappeared. You can hear the bedroom door's locked and you can hear your wife screaming, "Help, I'm being raped." And you're banging on the door going, "Hello, could you let me in, please? What's going on?" And Putin pops his head out and goes, "Hey, nothing's happening here, bro. Da, dotsvatanya. Get some more Stolichny into you. We're not raping your wife. It's fine." And the guy's just sitting there on the lounge chair, and all he can hear is his wife screaming for help. And these three guys are just raping his wife, but assuring him every time they come out to make a coffee, "No, it's fine. We're not raping your wife." This is the level it's operating at. These people are directly in front of all the online commentators. Directly, and I'm talking about the alt media. For once in their life, the mainstream media actually understand it. But the alt media is saying that Putin is the hero, when Putin and the three amigos, as I call them, China, Russia, and Israel, are working closely together. So imagine you have in mainstream articles the world over, it's just not on MSNBC yet, that the economic and military competitors of the United States, the great danger, and I'm watching Jim Mattis say how dangerous it all is, we're watching Israel just moving in as Donald Trump puts another $50 billion tariff on China, and there's Benjamin Netanyahu flying over, shaking the Chinese premier's hand and saying, "Hey, no problems, bro. We got all that tech anyway. Take ours." And it's being done publicly. But Mr. Mattis has nothing to say yet publicly. and we're hoping that that's going to change. But when you understand this is being it's being done directly in front of you, you're going to have – I mean, give credit where credit's due. Jeff Renstedt stuff on the Belt and Road Project years ago. David Icke 5 years ago did stuff on the Belt and Road Initiative and put it in an orative. But I'm telling you, where the hell is everyone else making people understand what is happening in Syria? And what the hell business is China's business to initiate the peace process? Well, we know the reason, because that's part of the Belt and Road Initiative. And Israel is making itself the center of this, and they were talking about this in the 16th century, for crying out loud. Die ganze Welt in einem Kribbelblatt, the entire world in a clover leaf. Jerusalem is in the center of the map, surrounded by three continents. That is straight out of an old Bunting's map of Israel on China's New Silk Road. This is from hundreds of years ago. This has been in the pipeline that long.
And nobody gets it. I mean, folks, you got to understand that what is unfolding in the Middle East is all about the Belt and Road Initiative, Israel, Russia, and China, which all just happen to be founded by the same people, communist Jews. How about that? Iran is deep in bed with Israel via China and Russia and explains their cockiness, just like when we saw Benjamin Netanyahu at the AIPAC conference. They are playing their role at the highest levels of government, destroying pan-Arab nationalism, giving Sunni Muslims a bad name. Arab-Sunni-dominated Middle East was the real enemy of Israel, not Shia Islam in Iran. They have worked for Israel and Jewish power from day one. A bunch of rat bags run out of a Paris commune with a bunch of German and French intelligence officials in a plane with Khomeini posing as a documentary crew. Hello, as Brendan would say. And then you go to this article over here to affirm it. And this is Bunting's map, and this is out of the Times of Israel, Bunting's map and Israel on China's new Silk Road. I mean, they, you know, look, if you start reading Haaretz and the Times of Israel and these other, I mean, that's right in your face, but nobody over here reads it. And we're talking about this Belt and Road project, which basically just, you know, it shows a map of what they're doing over there, and it's right under our nose. I mean, how is it that Trump can't see this, Brendan?
Well, God willing, who cares what Trump thinks? I just care about what President of the United States Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, thinks. God willing, they're running the show and they're onto it. And there's strong indications that this is the case. Now, sometimes things are handled quietly. I'm not giving false hope. I'm just saying what I believe is happening. Let's see it unfold. There have been some very positive things. What people see as a neocon takeover, as much as I dislike them, obviously. Remember, they've got old John Bolton, who's more of an anti-commie than he is a pro-Israel firster. So let's see what happens. It's a dynamically shifting. I've seen positive signs through this. The slapping of Lockheed for the loss of intellectual property and technology, coming out so strongly against China and calling them the Chi-Coms, the communist Chinese. I believe these are hints, nudges and winks about where this is going. And for the first time, we saw last week an Israeli company pulled up by the U.S. State Department as being far too close to Russia. Now, when you understand how to read between the lines, Mike, you understand when something is highly significant, not just the title in the article, it's what's said and not said. It's the position of that within the grand scheme of the media 24-hour cycle. That was a major shot across the bow to Israel and Netanyahu, in my opinion. They're saying, you know, you better watch it, BB. You better watch it.
Yeah, you brought something of interest up. This conference that was held in Iran just, about a month ago, where Alexander Dugin was speaking there. Yeah. You know, and with the talking about, I mean, the code words, unipolar, multipolar. You know, give us a little bit of oversight into that, because I've posted that 17-minute speech of Dugin on my website. So kind of fill in the audience on what he's really talking about there, Brendan.
Nick Spiro put me onto this 18 months ago. I saw it as a bit of a sideline and not realizing how important it was to understand Dugin. You must understand Alexander Dugin and his writings. Now, I'm just flicking through trying to find my quotes. Whoops, I'm in the wrong place. I should be in OneNote. And by the way, I've discovered Microsoft OneNote. My God, why didn't I find this years ago? This is a fantastic tool for putting all your stuff together. But Alexander Dugin is the man you must understand. When he says unipolar, what he's saying is unipolar is what he called the American unipolar order, which he calls American imperialism. He doesn't use the term capitalist, but that's what he means. American imperialism and globalism. He wants a multipolar world, which he considers national sovereignty and so on. What he's really saying is the multipolar world is the communist brotherhood, the communist state sticking together, and the unipolar world is the capitalist imperialist. And when you understand Dugin's code words for what he's talking about, when you listen to him speak, it's like listening to Khrushchev. It's literally like listening to a Khrushchev speech. So the saying that the Soviet Union never died under Anatoly Galitzin and his great books, New Lies for Old, are 100% true. 100%. They may have a different form and feature. They may be now covered over with we're a Christian nation. So they've got a KGB very wearing his Russian Orthodox Christianity on his sleeve, Vladimir Putin, KGB. We have a patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, the equivalent of the Pope, who's also a KGB agent. He's a man who's a billionaire who made a fortune out of alcohol and tobacco taxes and oil taxes, which no one talks about, with his fondness of horse racing, car racing, and also his apartment in Switzerland. But no one wants to talk about that. I think if people will just dig a little deeper and understand that Dugin in 1992, we're talking 1992 now, wrote his manifesto, and this is reported in the Australian press recently, and the title is 1990s Manifesto Outlining Russia's Plans is Starting to Come True. Now, this is from news.com.au. And I quote, "Ever wondered what Vladimir Putin is up to infiltrating the US elections? Surprisingly, there is an answer to that. In 1997, a Russian political scientist named Alexander Dugin and a serving Russian general named Nikolai Klokotov sat down and wrote a text that would become the foundation of Russian geopolitical strategy over the next 20 years. It was called Foundations of Geopolitics, and it was all about how Russia could reassert itself in the world. Now, I'll cut to the chase." Here's what he actually said.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's cut to the chase after the break here, because, folks, this is going to start getting really deep here in a couple minutes, because we're going to start throwing stuff at you that I'm sure you've never heard before. The background of these people, who they came from, what their names were, where they were born, all that stuff, not to mention a Ben-Gurion statement that I'm going to share with you. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my special guest, Brendan O'Connell, who is about to cut to the chase. Go ahead and cut to the chase, Brendan. Let him have it.
All right, well, this book was published in 97, but Dugin was writing about this in 1992 at the collapse of the Soviet Union. Just remember that the hell the Russian people went through. Every demographic, every indicator of development and the economy and the social structure disintegrated. It was a horror. And that's what Putin has built back up, and that's what Dugin was talking. Dugin is a communist. He's a 1,000% communist. He even calls himself National Socialist Bolshevik at one stage, and we'll go into that later. So we need to understand Dugin. Let's quote from this Australian news article, which is quoting from his book. But he says here, "Let's start close to Russia." This is the news article commenting on his book. "The book argues that the Ukraine should, surprise, surprise, be annexed by Russia." Quote, "Ukraine as a state has no geopolitical meaning, no particular cultural import or universal significance, no geographic uniqueness, no ethnic exclusiveness. It is certain territorial ambitions represents an enormous danger for all of Eurasia, and without resolving the Ukrainian problem, it is in general senseless to speak about continental politics." And he goes on to argue the only use for an independent Ukraine would be to provide a barrier to Europe. So let's keep in mind the Ukraine at the moment and the ongoing battle there between Russia and the Ukraine. And Ukraine does have an individual, has its own language, its own culture, and it's predominantly Catholic or Eastern Rite Catholic with a smattering of Russian Orthodox. Now, get this. Remember Nigel Farage and Brexit. This is amazing. "Next, it turns to Britain." This is 1997, so we're talking 20 years ago. "The book's authors say Russia should encourage Britain to leave the European Union and thus weaken it." That's right. Russian strategists were openly arguing in favour of Brexit in 1997 when it was still just a glimmer in Nigel Farage's eyes. So that's a good one to put in. And remember, this is Soviet-era strategic planning. Break up Europe, get rid of NATO, and integrate Europe into Russia. Into the Soviet Empire at that stage. Remember, this was the falling out between Stalin and Trotsky at that time, the big fight, because Trotsky wanted to go immediately into Western Europe. Stalin said, no, let's back off, build up our resources, and then go in. And the plan was for a 1942 June 1942 invasion of Western Europe, which Hitler, to his credit as a military commander, headed off. We might want to remember that, and hopefully the historians will get stuck into that little aspect which people miss. But Trotsky, of course, wanted to go early. They tried in 1919, and it was the Polish Catholics that put them back across the Vistula. Let's remember that. So let's what they say about Turkey. Russia identifies Iran as a key ally for Russia and recommends that Turkey should receive a series of, quote, geopolitical shocks, using Kurds and Armenians to keep it off balance. That's interesting. Now, here's an interesting one for Australians. The document even mentions Australia, if only in its relation to China. And I assure you, as an Australian, everyone is absolutely pooping their pants about China. 24 million people in Australia, massive oil, gas, resources, iron ore, lithium, rare metals, titanium, you name it, gallium arsenide, you name it. Australia is a crown jewel. And there's 24 million people and 3 billion Asians going, excuse me, we'd like you to share. So they're very worried about China and Australia, but they also want to trade. Here's what Dugin says. Basically, the book says that China should be encouraged to have its geopolitical posture aligned to its south, Indochina, except Vietnam, the Philippines, Indonesia, Australia, so that Russia can remain predominant on the Eurasian mainland. Now, think about that. Think about that. Now you understand why China is building in the South China Sea, all those little islands. But we're getting good now. We're getting to the big one. Now, listen to this. But perhaps the most amazing part of the book is when it calls for Russia to, quote, introduce geopolitical disorder into the internal American activity, encouraging all kinds of separatism and ethnic, social, and racial conflicts, actively supporting all dissident movements, extremist, racist, and sectarian groups, thus destabilizing internal political processes in the U.S. It would also make sense simultaneously to support isolationist tendencies in American politics. End quote. If that reads like an accurate description of Trump's inner circle, again, remember that this text was written 20 years ago.
And I'll tell you what, I think it's a good time to interject. Folks, look, you know, this is the mindset of these people. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, returned from a trip in 1923 from a visit to the Soviet Union, and he declared, I quote, I am a Bolshevik. Moreover, many of this country's early inhabitants were Russian-born. They spoke Russian, they read books and sang songs in Russian, and thought and dreamed in Russian. And many of them owed their lives to the Red Army's war against Nazi Germany. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go into the backgrounds of these people, and I'm talking about all the way up to since the first prime minister of Israel, and show you the ties, show you the lineage of who these people were and are. And let's just start here with little Benny. Israel was founded, folks, and run by Polish and Russian communist Jews from day one. All of the initial leaders of the Stern and Irgun gangs were Russian communists. Good example, Netanyahu's real family name is Milikowski. His father came to Palestine in 1920. And, you know, we can trace the lineage back here, but the point being is that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu's whole lineage is communist. You want to expound on that, Brendan?
Just before I do, just remember people going back to Alexander Dugin for just literally 1 minute. Now, everyone will know that Alex Jones was pushing Dugin nonstop. I have downloaded all the interviews that Alex Jones, the mouthpiece for Trump, was interviewing Dugin nonstop, for crying out loud. I noticed in the last 6 months he stopped, and I've noticed too that Joel Skousen has ceased appearing. I think Joel Skousen, who's a commentator and geopolitical analyst, has woken up too, God willing. But let's remember Richard Spencer, remember Charlottesville and the alt-right movement? They quote Dugin day and night. And Richard Spencer even got up and said, I can't wait for the race war. And he got up and said, I'm a neo-Bolshevik. And friggin' Alexander Dugin ran the neo-Bolshevik party of Russia, for crying out loud, with another man. I mean, what do people need? So you have one of Dugin's biggest fans is Richard Spencer, the head of the racist National Policy Institute and the man who popularized the term alt-right. Dugin's work has been published on Spencer's former website, Alternate Right, and Spencer's wife, Nina Spencer, who also goes by the aliases Nina Kaprovana or Byzantina. Now, she regularly translated Dugin's work into English on her blog. Now, that was the white nationalist movement, for crying out loud. It was being sponsored ideologically and maybe even more with money by the so-called by Russian communists, for crying out loud. I mean, what sort of a slap in the face do people need? And there's Alex Jones. Well, God willing, he's dumped Dugin because Alex might not be as clever as he thinks. And I think he's worked out, oops, his enthusiasm and other bad habits might have got the better of him. I hope eventually that Jones is going to have to discuss this. But getting back to the origins of – and this is something I meant to look up for years and I finally did. Every single Israeli prime minister, and I'm talking every single one, and let's get them very quickly in order – David Ben-Gurion, the first Prime Minister.
David Ben-Gurion. Was that?
Let me,
cut out?
Apologies. Are we going to a break? I just heard some reverb.
No, you're good. Go ahead. Continue.
Every single Israeli Prime Minister, and I'm talking every single one, was either born in Poland, Russia, or the Ukraine, or part of the Soviet Empire, or they were the first generation children of Polish, Russian, Ukrainian immigrants. And let's just use the current PM, Netanyahu. Real last name, Milikowski. Okay, his father has come over to then mandated Palestine in the 1920s. Netanyahu's father then becomes, at one stage, lives in New York. In fact, I do believe Netanyahu spent most of his early life in the United States.
Correct.
And
yep.
We have, and if people don't understand who Zeev Jabotinsky is, they really do need to get to know who Zeev Jabotinsky is. Because Zeev Jabotinsky was one of the founding ruthless criminal, let's not get too emotional, but let's call him what he was, a real scumbag based in Britain, served in World War One. But his real name was, guess what? When you understand Jabotinsky, just understand his background and that his secretary was Benjamin Netanyahu, the current Israeli Prime Minister's father, his secretary. Vladimir Yevgenievich Jabotinsky. That's his real name, not Zeev Jabotinsky. Now, where is he from? He's from Odessa. He's from the Ukraine originally. That guy was ruthless. He was really one of the original ruthless founders of the Israeli state, and that's the spiritual heritage of Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. But when you go through the entire, excuse me, I keep losing my point. When we go from David Ben-Gurion, when we go from, forgive me. So this is a lack of, not a lack of preparation, but a lack of...
brain cells?
Yeah, lack of brain cells. I got up at 5 a.m. Well, let's just look at Golda Meir. David Ben-Gurion was, again, born in Poland, or what you would call Belarus or parts of Poland. You have Golda Meir, her real name is Golda Mabovich. She was born in the Ukraine, in Kyiv, present-day Ukraine. David Ben-Gurion, Hebrew, real name, David Gurun. Again, he was born in Polsk in Congress, Poland, part of the Russian Empire. Then we then have good old Moshe Sharet, another Israeli prime minister. Where was he born? And I was having a bit of fun with you in my email to you, Mike. I can't have a guess. Swaziland? Iceland? Where were they all born? Again, in the Ukraine. He's from the Ukraine. Levi Eshkol. Many people may not have heard these names. These are all prime ministers. He was born in the Shatel in Kyiv in the Russian Empire, the Ukraine. Yitzhak Rabin, I always thought, God, he's got to be from surely South America or something. Maybe, just a guess, he's got a fairly brown skin, maybe something like that. No such luck. Again, born in a settlement, present-day Ukraine. That's where he was from. Then we have Menachem Begin. Man, maybe he's a Sephardic Jew. Maybe he's from Iraq or something. No, he was born in Poland. Then we have good old Yitzhak Shamir. No, again, he was born in the Jewish village of Orosny in Grodno province in Belarus, which was part of Russia. Shimon Peres, man, he's bound to be from South America or Argentina or something, for sure, with a name like Peres. No, he was born in Poland, in Wisniew, or in Belarus, as it was in the old Polish-Russian Empire. And on and on and on. Ariel Sharon.
All right, hold it up. All right. We're going to take a break. Are you getting the picture, folks? Every one of these people is a communist. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Stick around, more to come.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Brendan O'Connell. Did we get to, maybe I meant Moshe Sharet, we got him, right? All right, that was the second prime minister. And he was preceded by and then succeeded by David Ben-Gurion. And Levi Eshkol, did you get to him?
Brendan? Yeah, we got him. We're well past him. Yitzhak Rabin, we've been through Menachem Begin.
Okay. Yeah.
We can probably end it here. Every single last one, Ariel Sharon, Shimon Peres, all of them were either from Poland. Only two or three, which includes Netanyahu and a couple of others, were actually the sons, first generation sons of Polish Russian communist immigrants to kibbutzes. They were born, some of them, on the kibbutz people. Israel is a, as Jack Bernstein wrote, that brilliant, proud American patriot Jew, Jack Bernstein wrote, my time in racist, Marxist Israel. And when you understand that Israel is the is a Soviet invention, it is a Jewish communist invention from Eastern Europe, Poland, it's Slavic in origin. All right, it's not a religious entity at first. Then they put a coating of religion over the top, and there's a letter from Theodore Herzl where he says, let's not go to South America, let's go to Palestine because we'll get the support of American Christians. And I put to people that there was a specific setup, that this would be a backdoor, and Israel has become a backdoor for Soviet-era communist penetration and infiltration, and Putin is doing it right now into the United States high-technology sector under the Telpiot program, which is also legislated for with backup legislation, where the United States, by law, must support Israel and technology and energy. Thank you, Diane, for pointing that stuff out. So once you understand that it's a KGB, communist-era, Soviet penetration technique, it's a doorway into the West, masquerading as a religious biblical resurgence. That's why the Bible said, beware those who say they are Jews, for they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. What could be more satanic than godless communism? A social, you know, they call it socialist science in the digital age. And that's what we have now in the digital age, that we have Israel, a Marxist socialist state, scientific socialism. How perfect. Scientific rationalism, which is now coming into its own in the digital age. And then we see the rollover, capitalism, communism, rolling over into communitarianism, a new set of laws, like Talmudic laws with flowers, though, that'd be very nice, guys, rolling into the smart cities, the smart gulags, which are being put in mainly in Asia, infiltrated through China. And the people don't know the history and the founding of the modern state of China. When you understand all these dots, it all starts to make sense. And one of the ways we get through to the Christian, well-meaning Christian evangelical community, you are supporting a racist, Marxist, socialist, communist, godless state. That's what you are supporting in Israel.
And so this entire Judeo-Christian thing for those Hagiites and Benny Hinnish and all that stuff, I mean, it's all just a very clever illusion that has been designed to fool all Christianity, or the biggest part that they can. And then you look back at what they're doing to 37% of the Palestinians who are Christian, and they're slaughtering them, yet the Judeo-Christians are saying, oh, yeah, they're God's chosen people, everything's fine. I mean, everything isn't fine. Everything is the exact opposite of what they think is fine. And this is why it's so imperative, folks, to wake the Judeo-Christian community up, to wake the dumbed-down, mind-numb, Kool-Aid-drinking Americans watching mainstream media. It's imperative to wake these people up. The more stations that my producer brings on, the more I'm going to be shouting this out, because this is the, I mean, we can reach a tipping point here where this whole thing will cave in on them. Brendan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. This is hope, and people are contacting me now and saying, hey, you know, I've sort of got hope. I was very biblical, prophecy orientated. Now I'm thinking, no, we should fight this. We can beat this. What happens in the long run? Well, whatever. But in this particular battle, we can win. And people need to put in the context that if you're Israel, there's a quote from The Guardian, and this is from about 2015, this article, or was it 2011? I think it's 2015. It says, Israel's former Soviet immigrants transform adopted country. Now, in that article, it goes on to say that a million post-Soviet collapse, so that's 1992 on, over 1 million of their best scientists, physicists, missile technicians, aeronautical engineers, electrical engineers, poured out of the Soviet Union and poured into Israel. This was the second wave. It was already founded by the same people. Now, this second wave of Russians have completely taken over the politics. They've completely taken over the high-tech industry. They've completely taken over the culture. They don't learn Hebrew. They hang in Russian enclaves. They're fiercely loyal to Russia. And these people are now completely dominating the Israeli high-technology sector. The Russian technicians are in Elbit Systems, and they're all over the F-30. They are pulling, Russian technicians are pulling apart the F-35, all that technology. Russian technicians are all over the Intel factory in Erogot, Israel, the most advanced design and fabrication factory in the world. They say it's more advanced in America. Well, if it was, why did they put the Intel backdoor in over there? Why did they design? They designed all the Core 2 series chips. all right, from 2007 to 2008 on in Israel. So the most advanced design and fabrication is over there. And I've also been told by a technician in America that in actual fact the best Russians are in the United States, and they're also all over the technology within the United States. So you have people, these spy rings aren't just in Israel, they're in the United States, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But understand the ramifications. If the head lead pilot for the Lockheed F-35 program, and don't believe what you read, the F-35 is not a dogfighter. It's way more than that. It's not a good dogfighter. It's meant to be impossible to detect at certain levels in certain scenarios, and it's really good. You've heard the reports. They're just flying that thing all over Iran just for giggles. It's that good. All right. There are ways to detect it, but under optimum prime conditions. This thing is good and is part of a huge satellite program as well. This thing is big. And if someone had landed that F-35 in Red Square, it would be front page news for a year. It would be considered a technology and security penetration of epic proportions, the worst in history. And yet that is exactly what happened when they landed that F-35 in Israel 18 months ago. This is a catastrophe, and that's just 1% of the technology that is being, it's not being snuck out, it's being run out in trucks. Out of the United States, straight into Israel, straight to Russia, straight to China, straight to Iran. And Iran's neck deep in this too. That's ultimate theater, Iran, as the great enemy of Israel. That ain't no great enemy of Israel. Rouhani is literally in league with Netanyahu himself. And when you understand the Bolton Road Initiative, when you understand, when you get on the plane, as I did three times, four times, they're back, twice. You look in the business class section from Kuala Lumpur to Tehran, the seven-hour flight. It's filled with Chinese businessmen. On the streets, they stand out like the proverbial dog's parts on a frog. All right? Chinese are everywhere. Swiss and German bankers are everywhere, all over that place. Now you're starting to piece it together. Now it's starting to make sense. Break up the pan-Arab national and break up, destroy Iraq, destroy Syria, Jordan, Libya, and just start smashing it to pieces. And they're using Iran. And I'm afraid the Hadith said many, many years ago, 70,000 Jews from Isfahan. That's a very interesting Hadith. And I'm not putting down Iranians, many of whom are absolutely committed to the revolution. And we remember that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who I believe is the only real authentic president of Iran, who was shaking hands with all the Sunni leadership desperately in 2012, he was shaking hands, calling for Sunni-Shia unity in this fight against Israel. He was the real deal. He wasn't perfect. He did a lot of hand signals I didn't like. But when you have Iran built up from a Paris commune with a huge pyramid for a parliament with 33 windows, I think they're giving us a big hint, people. And I think we need to reassess, particularly Rouhani and Zarif and that little clique who are deep in bed, and some of these Iranian Revolutionary Guard commanders who are all millionaires, multimillionaires with their Swiss bank accounts. That needs to be re-examined. Very, very closely. Very closely. But understand, we've had two phases. Just briefly, Mike, and I'll finish. We've got the recent 20-year immigration where you had Russian technicians of the highest order, most of whom don't even identify as Jewish, right, have now taken over Israel, but they were already there. And it's been a constant struggle with many Israelis, very pro-America, do not want anything to do with it, and our best information is coming from the Israeli press itself.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. And, you know, to say now, after, and folks, I understand this is a lot to absorb. This is why I'm posting articles up on my website. You need to go in and do your own research. If you're not boned up to speed on the Belt and Road Initiative or the Talpiot Program or Unit 8200, you need to go spend some time and study on this, because all of a sudden light bulbs will start going off in your head and you start realizing that all this poppycock that you're hearing here and there, even on alternative media, if you start connecting the dots in a cohesive manner, you realize that this is really what's going on. And Brendan, the audacity to call Israel our greatest ally is that's ludicrous. Okay, I mean, how can people be that ignorant? How could they be that stupid? Because these people, you know, by what is the saying, by deception we shall make war, they're using that in every facet of what they're doing here, and that's their game plan to do this. Okay,
so Mark, we haven't even scratched the surface yet, have we?
No.
Wait till we hear about the Secretary of Defense, the former Foreign Minister, now Secretary of Defense, Lieberman, who the Israelis are accusing and have been for years that he's a Russian spy. This is coming straight out of the Israeli press.
Yeah, that was the article that was up next that I was just getting ready to bring up. But before we do that, let me check the time here. See, we've got to go to a top of the hour break here shortly. we got about a minute, so we can't really get into that right now. But you know, I want to emphasize once again, folks, that what we're doing here is cutting edge. And I know, you know, and when I looked at it for the first time, even the second time I looked at it, I really had to read it a few times to wrap my head around this before the light bulbs started going off. And it's deeply embedded in propaganda. It's deeply embedded in disinformation and misinformation, deliberately put out there to keep you away from this. But once you get on this, you can't unlearn what you've already learned. And then you start looking at this from a completely different perspective than what I had even been looking at up to just a couple of months ago when I was when I tracked you down there in Malaysia. And what I have learned through all of this and connecting the dots and the articles that he sent me, plus the videos, folks, that I have been diligently researching and, you know, going over a second and third time, have caused me to come away with a completely different perspective of what I thought I knew. With that, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. More to come with Brendan O'Connell. Stick around. It's even going to get better, believe it or not.
Live from the Valley of the Sun, bringing you real hard-hitting news and views that will shock the political clowns and spin your head around. Here's Michael Herzog with The American Awakening.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my guest, Brendan O'Connell. You know what? Let's go ahead and get into this, this Shin Bet with withholding Iranian secrets being a security risk. You want to tackle that one, Brendan?
Yeah, well, I just love this stuff. This is now Avigdor Liebman, if you don't know. Avigdor Liebman was originally the foreign minister, which is pretty funny. He's a thug. He's a Moldovan out of the old Soviet Empire, nightclub doorman who got convicted in Israel at one of the settler communities for beating up a 12-year-old kid, for crying out loud. But the Shin Bet considered him a major security breach potential, and even WikiLeaks cables had something to say about him. But the title of the article is Shin Bet Withheld Iran Secrets from Liebman as a Security Risk. And it says a senior Israeli source with high-level political and just to let you know, I just watched Lieberman as the Secretary of Defense of Israel 1 month ago meet with the Secretary of Defense of America, Secretary of Defense, and fairly distinguished gentleman, not perfect, Jim Mattis, retired Marine Corps general and now the Secretary of Defense. And it was cold as ice. When you look at the body language, man, and Mattis is just looking at Lieberman like, you little SOB. You can just see it. And Lieberman is as nervous as hell. So understand who Avigdor Liebman is, who's also the best friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. But listen to this. Shin Bet withheld Iran secrets from Lieberman as security risk. This is an article from about 5 years ago. A senior Israeli source with high-level political and military experience tells me that there have been rumors for years that Lieberman was sent to Israel by the KGB as a young immigrant in order to make his mark and rise upward in Israeli politics. To anyone who argues that such rumors are unsubstantiated, I would remind them that there were unsubstantiated rumors for years about Moshe Katov's sexual predatory habits. He's about to spend 7 years in prison. Since the end of Ben-Gurion's reign, the Shin Bet has been prohibited from monitoring Israeli Jewish politicians, so no one can determine whether the rumor is true. A broadside flyer displayed in Jerusalem last month accusing Lieberman of being the head of a Russian spy ring. But then we have the WikiLeaks. So this rumor has been around for years in Israel. And then the WikiLeaks released U.S. cables indicating this. It said, summary, Israeli Foreign Minister Lieberman's June 2-3 visit to Russia appears not to have broken new ground diplomatically, but cemented Moscow's impression that the Russian-speaking Lieberman is one of their own. That's a quote from a U.S. cable commenting on a recent visit. Fuchs explained that Lieberman conducted his meetings in Russian, shared stories about Moscow, and smoked, creating a comfortable atmosphere with his Russian interlocutors. The Israeli foreign minister behaved like an old friend, commented Fuchs, who thought that the Russian acted as if they already knew him, although it was too early to say whether his personal diplomacy would have a measurable effect on already strong Russia-Israel relations. Now, just on that one, I would put to you this elephant in the living room. Russia-Israel relations have been strong for well over 10 years, well before that, but I'm talking brother-to-brother strong between Netanyahu, Putin, and Avigdor Liebman. Where does that fit in the narrative of the idiot alt media talking that Putin is somehow containing Israel in Syria? We're already seeing that that narrative has no legs whatsoever, but people keep repeating it. And let's move on. KGB infiltrated.
All right, wait a minute. the KGB infiltrated. Hold that thought, because we've got to take a one-minute break. They're going to have to welcome back WXEI 95.3 FM in Crestview, Florida, which missed this little snippet, but we had to get it in there, folks. So stick around. We'll be back. Well, we've got a long segment coming up, and believe it or not, it's going to stay as good or even get better. So we'll be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back, and we welcome back WXEI 95.3 in Crestview, Florida. Let's get into this KGB-infiltrated highest echelon of Israeli army. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, this is going to get better, and as we're talking about Israel here, I want you to understand that as I talk to you about Israel and these articles, which many of you won't have heard about, I came across these particular ones by accident, but we'll give you some other ones that Jeremy Rothko-Schell sent me. And you'll see the identical thing happening in the U.S. at the exact same time. So listen to this. KGB infiltrated highest echelons of Israel's army, business, and political leadership. By Richard Silverstone. While sifting through the notes of a former KGB archivist. Now, just to clarify, these are the notes that were brought in 1992, I believe. And forgive me, I don't have it in front of me. Now, this was a Soviet-era archivist who ran like hell and took a whole pile of documents to London. The Soviet Union was collapsing. He wanted to make himself a nice life. You could argue that that could have been planted material, but it's not believed to be so. It's believed to be highly reliable information. And it makes sense. He just wanted to get out and make some money and start a new life. So it's a whole story to how this came to London. But here it is. That was 1992. So
all right. So
KGB infiltrated. I've got it here. I've got it. Yeah, KGB infiltrated higher echelons. Right. So while sifting through the notes in England, Israeli investigative journalist Ronan Bergman realized that the Russian spy service's penetration of Israel was far more extensive than previously known. Despite the many successes of the Shin Bet, that's the FBI in Israel, the Shin Bet in exposing spies, scores of Israelis in the political world, the military and private industry spied for the Soviets for decades without ever having been suspected, much less caught. Let's quickly flick. And we've got a dozen of these, and it includes Abbas naming Palestinian activists like Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Fatah, as also a spy for the KGB. He that recently came out, and he denounced that, saying that's just a plant. But, of course, it's just normal. They penetrated the Arab world for many, many, many years. That was just common knowledge. But this is from, I'll tell you what, the Executive Intelligence Review by Mr. LaRoche. Now, LaRoche, I have some major problems with him, but he did some excellent work early on until they locked him in jail. And after that, I'm a little suspicious of him. And he was in serious trouble back then. But prior to that, man, he put out some good stuff. This is sent to me by Jeremy Rothko-Schell. This is from the Executive Intelligence Review. The Soviet mole network running U.S. counterintelligence. At the very beginning of 1988, a purported official CIA evaluation of the Jonathan J. Pollard spy case surfaced among senior French intelligence officers. Now, this entire article goes into stating that the CIA had their own private assessment of the damage done by Pollard. And what it's actually saying is Pollard was just the tip of the iceberg to a gigantic Soviet penetration into the U.S. intelligence world, which included Ariel Sharon, Douglas Fife, Richard Pearl. Oh, who are those?
Worms are
the neocons.
The neocons, the ones that signed the PNAC documents. What a surprise. Go ahead.
What a great dot to connect. And, I mean, this whole article is just gold. Look at this. William Bundy, Admiral Strathfield Turner, Admiral Bobby Rayner. I mean, it goes on and on and on about these suspected moles. And even Scott here, suspected Soviet cell, wrote Reagan's long-term strategy by Jeffrey Steinberg. So you've got Jews in America saying, hello, it is a major problem. And at the same time, Israel is getting, which was already infiltrated, I mean, it's a mirror image. The infiltration creation of Israel, and that infiltration originally post-Bolshevik, post the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, was happening at the same time. It was a mirror image. And now we understand with the Talpiot program, now we understand the legislation demanding that the United States, I mean, by law, support Israel, support the Soviet created state of Israel. the back door into the United States, into the West. Once we understand that, then we start to shiver and realize that McCarthy was right, Fulbright was right. That's why they killed JFK. That's why when I was in Iran, I was going crazy. I couldn't understand. Why won't they attack Israel? Why are they attacking Saudi all the time? Why do they hate Arabs so much? Why do they hate the Sunnis so much? Well, the Sunnis already know that. The Saudis know that. We've got to understand that Iran is getting the technology from Russia, China.
Okay, you cut out there for about 5 seconds. I think they're listening to us, Brendan. Back up just about two sentences and repeat that again. If you would.
My personal experience in Iran, why I left, I couldn't understand. They just attacked Saudi non-stop, barely talking about Israel. Well, the reason why they didn't want to talk about it, and if we remember with the interview we did with Tom on Thomas's show where we talked with Dr. Alan Sobrowski, Alan Sobrowski and I were supposed to do a high technology conference exposing the Talpiot program in Iran. Now, people say, well, Iran was supporting it. No, they didn't. For 3 weeks, I screamed using every foul expletive I could at this Iranian handler that if he kept diverting me from the issue, I would expose him, I would expose Iran, and I was screaming at him that he better stop. And finally, after 3 weeks, because I had no money, I couldn't leave, and they knew it, finally said, oh, you have permission to do it. This guy was drugged up and off his head. That's why I got the hell out of Iran. And then it clicked. It just clicked. They're all working together. And Iran does not want to expose Israel because Iran is not only working with Israel, completely decimating the Arab world, the Arab Sunni world, grinding Syria to dust, grinding Iraq into dust. Not only that, they are benefiting from the technology transfer from Israel to Russia, to Iran, to China, okay. And it's all about the Belt and Road Initiative. And let me finish one last thing. The lawyer himself said to me in early January 2017, I was to work with government analysts, Mr. Passport and the Persian Gulf Studies. And he said, Brendan, we are taking back, he said, taking back the stands, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, so on, the whole region. And I said, really? Sounds like Persian Empire 2.0. And he goes, oh, no, Brendan, there never was a Persian Empire. It was just a loose affiliation of tribes working towards a common goal. So he just gave me a lawyer's reinterpretation of the Persian Empire. I didn't say it wasn't the 2.0 version. He just gave me a new definition of the Persian Empire. Do you understand? Now I understand when I got back to Malaysia that this whole program of taking back the stands, because that is the role Iran is playing in the Belt and Road Initiative. China has this bit, Iran has this bit, Israel has greater Israel all the way to the Euphrates, Iran, the Persian Empire, will have all the land all the way to the West Bank of the Euphrates, and they'll have a little standoff. Russia's having that, the European, Pan-Eurasia, Rothschild is giving them their little part of the pie. You have this bit, you have this bit, and we'll just collapse the United States into a cesspool, turn it into a police state, and the crown, aka Lord Jacob Rothschild, the puppet string puller of the grand chessboard, will then get the United States back under control, just as they collapsed the Soviet Union, into decimated into filth, and then put Putin up. And now they control Putin.
Okay. So let's back up here just a little bit. All right. So all of this, smoke and mirrors going on here about, you know, Iran is allied with Syria. Okay. And Israel screaming because Iran is, you know, too close to the oil fields or whatever. So they send ISIS in there and blah, 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 blah. Is this indeed all smoke and mirrors?
Absolutely. Because now Iran is giving Netanyahu the excuse he needs. My God, they're threatening to, you know, Hezbollah says we have new accurate missiles. Look, have a look at Hezbollah. If ever there was a biggest fraud, it was staring me in the face and it's staring you in the face. Every time Netanyahu has a problem, out comes that moron, idiot agent for Western intelligence and Israeli intelligence, Mr. Nasrallah. His people goose step and Hitler salute and proudly boast that their youth are trained under an identical system of the Hitler Youth. He says, we have new accurate missiles from Iran and we will decimate Israeli critical infrastructure. On cue, every time as Netanyahu has a problem, out he comes. And then the big ooga booga ooga booga, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you first. And Iran comes all the way in, smashing Arab Sunni resistance, which was the whole point of this Ode Yunon plan, to smash Arab resistance, Sunni resistance, particularly Saddam Hussein, the unstable assets that they didn't have, to smash them and grind them to dust. And that is what has occurred. And now Iran sits on the border and is threatening Saudi Arabia. Perfect. Now Saudi Arabia is having a fit. Russia and Iran are threatening Saudi Arabia. So what's Saudi Arabia doing? were willing for the first time. Egypt's already signed peace deals. I do believe Jordan had signed as well. Now Saudi Arabia is being put out as, oh, the sellouts, the sellouts. Listen, Iran's been dealing with Israel just as much as Saudi Arabia has. And I'd like you to understand that Saudi Arabia, in the real world, 100 miles from the border of Israel, just looked at Iraq get the treatment. And they've been promised the same treatment. So to all the armchair generals out there, the game's chess, not checkers. It's a very difficult time. I've got problems with the Saudi leadership. Don't worry about that. But the point is now, all of a sudden, Netanyahu's going, hey, Saudi, we're friends, bro. Look at these evil Iranians and these evil Russians. We should get together, eh? Shouldn't we? Hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. How about we build your new smart city, NEOM, the $500 billion project. We'll supply all the technology and we'll get rid of Iran. It was a scam. They set them up. Now they're going to completely do over the Gulf states and Saudi, but that isn't completely done yet, and I think it's going to fail. So people, the game's chess, not checkers. It's the grand chessboard. Of course they reeled in Iran under Rouhani, under Zarif, who are very close to Swiss and German banks, and they got rid of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who was calling for Shia Sunni unity, and they had a heart attack. They collapsed the reel. They did all sorts of things to Iran. They blew up the scientists, blew up military bases. That wasn't Mahmoud Ahmadinejad doing that. That was the rat, Rafsanjani, the rat, as I call him, the man very close to the Shah, who was the Swiss bagman, a multi-billionaire. Remember, Shia Islam, everyone's equal. There's no kings. We're the revolution. And what? They've got a man worth $16 billion conservatively US dollars with massive Swiss bank account holdings. I was staying with families that were friends of Zarif. I was staying with friends of the foreign minister in his hometown of Hansa, people. And they all worked in Swiss banking in Zurich. Hello?
All right. Take a breath. Take a breath. We got to go to a break. Brendan's on a rant here. When we get back, we got more to come.
Might have to listen to
this two or three times. But, folks, trust me, there's much more to come. Hopefully we'll get through this today. So stick around. Be back in three.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. every time you come on my show, which is pretty regularly now, Brendan, you know, I get a headache because my mind is blown even further. But as you disseminate through this, you know, and you kind of separate the wheat from the chaff, and you realize it all makes much more sense than all this poppycock floating around on mainstream news, and then even the alternative media. You know, this is very sophisticated stuff, Brendan, and I understand that a lot of people might not get it at first. So, you know, it takes time to break down. And the fact that new listeners are coming on to this network every day, and we look at the numbers and we see it, plus my producer is doing a fabulous job in putting other terrestrial radio stations together, and we have to keep going over this. We have to keep directing people into the website. We have to keep, you know, pointing them in a direction to get up to speed, because this is all a part of an agenda. We are in a war. And we can win this thing, okay? But it's something, you know, it's all been smoke and mirrors, Brendan. It's all been, oh, look over here while we do this over there. Oh, no, well, it's Iran and they're doing this. No, they're really
inventing this. Mike, we should know this. The alt media should know this stuff. This is 101 stuff, but we're having to repeat it. That tells me the infiltration of the alt media is just, they've infiltrated it. It's infiltrated. Soviet communist fools and dupes. I'm sorry, but I'm just a guy. I can string a few dots together, no problem. Why are you hearing it from me? Why? And now I'm not going to cast aspersion. I don't think it's wise and tactical, but I just want to give you an example. James Corbett has a huge following. He makes a lot of money, I might add. James Corbett, as far as I'm aware, I haven't looked lately, has not touched this subject. And yet he's been contacted numerous times, very politely. Phil Giraldi has not addressed this narrative. Dr. Alan Sabrowski has. Dr. Kevin Barrett has to some degree and has supported me, and I thank him, although he is very much in love with Iran, which bugs me. I don't believe he's objective, but he has support. He gets it, and I believe there are definitely elements in Iran that get it. Iran is a big place, people. It's not just one policy. But we need to start very politely, but very forcefully and regularly addressing these issues to the likes of an Alex Jones, to the likes of a James Corbett, to the likes of a Sibel Edmonds, to the likes of a whole range of people with 100,000 plus subscribers who are making good money. They're making good money. I'm making $25 a week, people. All right, I'm not happy about it because from the pure thing is I have to survive. I've traded in a $100,000 a year job for 10 years. Hello, forgive me if I'm getting a bit peeved and taking it rather personally. These same people will not address this issue. Cynthia McKinney, one of my heroes, which breaks my heart, one of my heroes, Cynthia McKinney, is so stupid or she is so compromised, or she is a damn communist. I don't know. She's hanging in Bangladesh. She invites me to Bangladesh. And if you didn't know it, Bangladesh is a hardcore communist Soviet era hangout. And she is not saying a damn word. She is supporting Assad. Assad, oh, look, he's a geek. I like him. He said in 2008 originally, we need to reform. But he was prevented, A, by the fact that there's a Soviet base there. Number two, all his security apparatus were worried because they're brutal thugs and they were going to have to relent power. And I believe Assad wanted to, the young Assad. He's a geek. And his brother's a ruthless piece of garbage. His old man was ruthless fingernail puller. I mean, this is not a secret. This is not my opinion. This is just well known. And yet the narrative is that they're wonderful social democrats over there and he's a wonderful guy. I'm sorry, you're dreaming. You are absolutely, even Iranian generals are on the record with captured, there's actually a famous documentary out there now where an Iranian documentary maker was with a bunch of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And the general there even said they really overreacted. They did overreact in 2011, started shooting and killing people and torturing and murdering. There were thousands of bodies piled up in the hospitals, thousands. It was bad, people. And yet we have a narrative where the Assad regime, backed by the old Soviets, the old Soviet base under Putin, is just this wonderful, kind, sweet, cuddle bear, snuggle bear thing. And that is ludicrous. There's never been an election there, proper election, any more than there was a proper election under Saddam. But do we say, we know what Saddam was, we support some of his stuff, but we would never say he was a Democrat and a nice guy in the classic sense. Would we? And yet we're doing it with Assad. Now, how do you do that?
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Wait. No, mainstream media is not treating Assad as a nice guy. They're saying he gassed his own people.
Yeah, that's right. For the first time ever, I'm actually in agreement with the mainstream media. That's the joke. It's the alt media that's working for the opposition. That's the problem. That's the joke. Well, that's what I said to you earlier. I'm actually agreeing for the first time with the mainstream media. Whatever their intent is, whatever their reason is, it may be different to mine, but they're right. There's a problem.
Okay, the whole Assad gassed his own people turned out to be a ruse by the White Helmets.
Oh, yeah, but that initially, but he was gassing people left and right. He's well on the record. And besides which, they staged that fake attack. It was so badly done.
Yes,
it was so badly done.
But they've done.
Assad did it. Assad, they had video where they were claiming these were the White Helmets staging it, practicing for another attack. But it was clearly Assad's people themselves pretending to be the White Helmets, pretending to be staging an attack. They're both playing the game. But originally, the Assads were notorious gassers and fingernail pullers of their own people. That's why it was they're willing to keep pushing that crap line, because it's based in truth. But as for now, I mean, it was ridiculous. There wasn't a gassing. It was garbage.
Okay. So ultimately, the agenda or the goal for Syria is to get rid of Assad, correct? And place a puppet, dictator in there or something, right? Somebody that's more in line.
No. That was a grassroots movement, man. The Syrians have had enough. They've been treated like garbage. Their economy, they're getting robbed blind.
I agree.
By the Assad family. That was a spontaneous uprising. It was not planned. They said, we've had a freak enough, man. And what happened was Assad overreacted. They started shooting and torturing. And I'm talking brutal, horrible things. Brutal, horrible things. The barrel bombs were not a joke. They were dropping them on hospitals. They were dropping on apartment blocks. They were killing tens of thousands of people. Assad said, rather than stand down and take a Dacha on the Black Sea, I'm going to stay in power. And there's 500,000 people dead. 500,000 dead. And they want that war to grind on. Putin wants the war to grind on. Netanyahu wants the war to grind on because he wants Syria ground to dust and split up. That's what they're doing. The best thing that could ever happen were for the Sunnis, the 87% majority, get rid of the whole Assad family, send them to the Black Sea where they can live in comfort and exile, right, and let the Sunni majority have their own. That will pee off Netanyahu. He won't like it because he won't have an excuse to build greater Israel, will he?
That's a good point. No, okay, you're on target with that. But from some of the people that I have heard interviewed from Syria, they're saying that 78% of the populace voted for Assad, for a re-election, and the people like him.
What elections? The only smart thing about the Ba'ath Party in Syria, as opposed to the Ba'ath Party in Iraq, remember they're all the Ba'ath Party, was that Saddam stupidly rigged the elections to be like 92%. At least the Assad family sort of rigged it a little lower to make it slightly believable. Listen, I'm not telling you secret stuff here. You ask anyone from Syria or the Lebanese who travel backwards and forwards into Syria. You cross that border, you shut your mouth. You can call Nasrallah whatever you like in Beirut. You can go to town. There are comedy shows that pull the proverbial out of Nasrallah and his cute conditioned beard every day. No one's shooting anyone. In Lebanon, there are multiple different parties, multiple different TV stations. It's a whole range. You cross that border into Syria, that toll, shut your mouth. You will get us arrested and freaking tortured. You open your mouth and say, I hate Assad and I'm starting a political party. Who's with me? I'm a proud Syrian nationalist. I'm not out to help Israel or America. I'm a proud Syrian nationalist, but we can do things better. You ask a Syrian what would happen to you. You would be dragged into a car. Your bones would be broken in the best case scenario. Bones broken, fingernails pulled, your teeth knocked out. Then you would be dumped back on the doorstep of your house. That's the best scenario you can hope for. That is not even a secret. That is just common knowledge in the area. And when you see these white Christian communist do-gooders saying, oh, what's that? This? It's ludicrous. It's crazy. It's not even on the bright planet. You are repeating garbage. It's not even clever propaganda. It's garbage. The whole point was in came Israel with this legitimate Sunni uprising who'd had enough. The Free Syrian Army was for real. They were moderates. And in came Israel with those lunatic, drug-affected criminals. Some of them are out of Chechnya and controlled by Russia, I might add. Start lopping heads and making the Saudis look like raving morons. And that was the goal. Now, the Shia look good, the Persian Empire, well, Iran looks good. Iran says, hey, you need us, man. We've got to get in here and rescue this country from these horrible Sunni militias. I mean, it's just the grand chessboard, baby.
We've got to take a break and let me wrap my head around this again. So, folks, take a breath, say kus fraba. We'll be back in three with Brendan O'Connell, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back. I feel like this is Friday already. after all this information is coming out. Okay, we got a little bit off track there on Syria. You want to get back to this here, KGB Middle East Files, the fight against Zionism and world Jewry?
That's interesting. That goes into the backwards and forwards. Just remember, this is a dynamic thing. It's like the unstable asset. Different people come into power. There's different power sections in Iran, just like there's different power plays in the United States. Often there's the single puppet master, but maintaining your asset, like Adolf Hitler, or whether it's a Rouhani, or it's a Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, or it's a Saddam Hussein, or it's a Bashar al-Assad. It doesn't matter who it is. Maintaining your asset is very difficult at times, and even that includes in Israel, where there's been a real backwards and forwards. And remember, a lot of the best information is coming out of Israel, and it's clear to me a lot of the Israelis are saying, we need help, people. We choose America, not Russia. That's what they're saying, and they're begging for help. And we need to listen and understand that there is potential for peace and goodwill in that region. Exactly how it will transpire, I don't know, but it's possible for Jews, Christians, and Muslims to live together. Without question, that is the natural order. The problem is the people like these Likudniks, these Soviet-era agents, because the Soviet communist, Bolshevik, internationalist, or nationalist movement does not gain or get anywhere without chaos, death, and destruction. So they must keep the place in perpetual chaos, death, and destruction so they can do their work. And I might add, that's also a very much a quote out of Freemasonry. That's where they do their best work, as they build the foundations of the New World Order. Mm-hmm. So we understand that out of Jewish Kabbalah and this Talmud, that's what's going on right now on a scale. And we understand now what Syria is about, what Iraq was about, what Iran's about, what China's about, and we understand it's all culminating in the Belt and Road Initiative. It's culminating in Israeli technology stolen and being transferred out of the United States. We understand what happened with the 2008 $3 trillion. We can now question that. Where was that energy transferred to, that monetary system transferred to? Where was the $2.8 trillion missing from the Pentagon budget under the comptroller, Rabbi Dov Zakheim? Where did that go? We can now ask. We now have I'm starting to love Jim Mattis more and more. He said, we are now going to audit. We're spending $500 million to audit the Pentagon. This is big, and I believe is indicative of a long-term project to rescue the Republic, possibly. We're hoping. Our fingers are crossed. We've got to keep up the pressure. We've got to keep on to the alt media. Say, why won't you talk about this? Please talk about this. And there may be reasons they just didn't see it, or they've been caught up, or maybe they weren't getting information passed on to them. We need to politely but firmly demand. You know, the price is high. For Americans especially, the price is high. The price is already high in the Middle East. We've got 500,000 dead Syrians, 3 million dead Iraqis and counting. Africa is now being put back into flames under the same project by the same people. We need to understand that Vladimir Putin, for good or ill, I think he's probably a nationalist working for the benefit of Russia. I believe he's probably, looking at his interviews and his body language, he's definitely a sincere aspect to it. But it doesn't matter. He's the president of Russia. He's not the president of the United States. The bottom line is they have penetrated in this Soviet-era style Yuri Andropov KGB penetration effort, penetrated Israel and penetrated the United States. It's a long historical record to this. There's a medium historical record under Fulbright and McCarthy. And now we have the short-term historical record with articles like The Guardian, where a million Soviet, Russian, some of whom are communists, obviously, in sympathies, some of whom are Russian nationalists, but most of whom don't speak Hebrew, don't even identify as Jewish, and now all over the Israeli technology sector, which is all over the U.S. high technology sector. If you can connect two dots and you have two brain cells, that is the biggest security breach in history, and it's sitting in front of you, and the U.S. technology, the U.S. military contractors are dumping the technology into Netanyahu and Vladimir Putin's arms, who are passing it to Iran, who are passing it to China, who are now the economic and military competitors of the United States. And for all its sins, I do not want to see the United States go down, because that is the goal of communist Jewish Bolshevik Talmudic plan by Rothschild. Rothschild on the crown to get the United States back into the hands of the City of London. This is not British MI6 doing this. It's not Queen Elizabeth doing this. It's Lord Jacob Rothschild doing this.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, Let's look at the Israeli or the Jewish people over there. I mean, I'll back you up a little bit. You say they're getting sick of this as well. They'd rather have the United States as opposed to, you know, Russia and communism. Are there any or is there laws against Israelis or Jewish people demonstrating over there? And what's this thing a couple of months ago about Benjamin Netanyahu was supposed to be indicted for bribery or whatever happened with that? I mean, what is it? More smoke and mirrors? What is this? I mean,
Hollywood. It's a dog whistle. It's like when Putin came out and said, you know, Putin was feeling the heat because, in part, us, me, Joseph, Jeremy Rothkoschel, Greg McCarron, just a group, John Swin, a bunch of wide political spectrum, white nationalists included, were saying, hey, we were hammering the doors. Oi! Putin is not who you think he is. And Putin just dog whistles, hey, maybe it was a bunch of Jews from the Ukraine who interfered in your election. And suddenly, oh, everything's fine. Putin just had to say that. And everything's fine. You know, and it's the same with Netanyahu. He's coming under pressure. Oh, you know, it might be an indictment any day. And everyone goes, yay, they relax. And nothing happens. And I said, I'm on the record countless times saying it's not going to happen. You watch. And it happens. No one's given me $1,000 a video. No one's given me my 100,000 subscribers. In fact, my subscribers are grossly held down. But I'm getting really peeved with the alt media, the big names who are proudly taking their free flights to Tehran, pontificating and posing on the podium with Alexander Dugin, all right, who will sell their grandmothers for a spot on Russia Today and Press TV, who are telling lies and making money. And I don't like it. I don't like it personally, and I don't like it professionally, and I don't like it just from the matter of truth. America, you had better start taking sides, not in the dialectic, but the side of truth. And often truth lies somewhere in the middle, not always, but often. And you need to start pushing your little guru of choice, right? It's not a social media event. It's not a popularity contest. There are very serious consequences that will come of this. It's already been seen serious consequences in the Arab world. They've got 3.5 million dead people, countless traumatized psychologically, physically. They have Africa going up in flames. These are serious consequences, America, and it's up to you. It's up to the United States Marine Corps headquarters. It's up to West Point. It's up to the Pentagon. Those bright, young, decent colonels, decent people, and there's decent people in Russia. There's decent people in Israel, and they know enough is enough. We can work together. It's a tiny Rothschild private intelligence network clique who are putting the world into flames, and Dugin's one of them. Putin's an opportunist working with them. Netanyahu is absolutely the poster boy for this and the Likudnik lunatic neocon Soviet Bolsheviks. That's what they damn well are, and we need to get that back. McCarthy was right. Fulbright was right. Kennedy was right. And I'm sick of going after the Catholic Church and saying the Vatican run things when it's Catholics who have been at the forefront of this fight, including John Fitzgerald Kennedy himself. And I noticed Steve Pachenik, the Polish Jew born in Cuba, is now going after Kennedy and saying, oh, he was this and he was that. And I'm sick of Pachenik as well. Sorry, I'm about to lose the plot and do an Alex Jones. I am sick of this garbage on the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church have been bad. They are infiltrated. No one wants the America to go down. We shouldn't want the Catholic Church and the Vatican to go down. But there is a damn well problem in the Vatican, but they ain't running the show. We know who's running the show. And all roads lead to Rothschild. Catholics have been at the forefront of this fight. They have been the forefront fighting Jewish power from day dot. They haven't always done it well by any means. But it's time to focus on the enemy, forge alliances between Jewish communities, Muslim communities, and Christian communities, and understand people like Dugin, who have screamed to incite racism and hatred within the United States and break it up on feminist lines, on racial lines. He then comes in as a supporter of Trump and says, oh, look at all these horrible things happening. You should join the multipolar world order. Well, the multipolar world order, in the new Dugin speak, is the Communist Brotherhood. That's what it is. And we need to call these people out as treasonous, and they are going to take food off your table. They are transferring jobs, energy, industry, technology. They transferred it to China. Now they're doing the same thing to the high-tech sector, and they're transferring it totally to Israel. What is going to be left for America? When you bring in robotics and AI, there's going to be nothing left for America. It will be what Benjamin Netanyahu said it would be in the Finks Bar in 1990. We will collapse it into a welfare state and suck it dry. And you welcome that piece of garbage, that piece of Jewish Bolshevik garbage into the Senate and the Congress of the United States. Fulbright was right. AIPAC not only needs to be deregistered and said to be a foreign entity, they need to be rounded up by the United States Marine Corps in conjunction with the FBI, CIA, and rounded up and put into Riker Island tomorrow. And if they slip and their firearms go off and someone's head is separated from their body, that will be sad, and I wouldn't want that. But if it did happen, I wouldn't be sad about it. But the rule of law must apply. As angry as people should be about this, the rule of law must apply. It is a criminal investigation, nothing more, nothing less.
Well, we can just relate to what happened in Libya and what's still happening over there. You know, I just got a...
Coming to a state near you.
Oh, hey, no, I just posted this up on my website today. Thank you very much, my producer, Michael. Joanne Moriarty sent me this article. The Great Tribes of Libya have issued the following situation report for Libya. Jim and Joanne are the only intelists coming out of Libya. And, you know, it goes on. Libya is still suffering and being occupied illegally by the radical terrorist mercenaries brought into their country by the CIA and the other covert groups back in 2011. These people are trying to get out from under them. And this appointed ISIS, Al-Qaeda government that is backed by us, okay, these terrorists are calling themselves militias to mask their real identity and their intentions. And these militias are made up of radical Islamists and psychopathic criminals. The many criminal militia gangs in Libya have joined forces as they see all the Libyan people are against them. And the Libyan people look for a countrywide election to put a real leader and real security back in the country. They have devastated this country. They have raped, killed, and maimed, upwards of a million people. And in the mainstream media, it's downplayed. Oh, yeah, well, maybe there was 15, 25,000. No. There was upwards of a million people that were killed over there. And it was all designed by us. And it was designed to prevent Muammar Gaddafi, he wasn't the leader of the country at the time, but to prevent him from going ahead and bringing more agriculture to Africa by the aquifer that was under the Sahara Desert and going to the gold dinar and trade for their oil. Now, we've got to take a break here. We're coming up in the final segment, and we got a mess of other articles here. I don't know which ones you want to touch
please,
on.
Well, please, Mike, can we just clarify that it ain't the CIA doing this? The Moriartys I love, and I've watched their stuff. I can't wait to watch the video.
No, I know who it
is. But we need to clarify it ain't the CIA.
All right. Well, wait. We'll come back, and we'll clarify it. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back. final segment of the American Awakening with my guest, Brendan O'Connell, who's about to take me to the woodshed on mentioning the CIA. Yes, I misspoke, Brendan. Go ahead. Whack me on the hiney. Go ahead.
Well, the Moriartys are right in many things, but they need to clarify. Often we generalize, that's fair enough, we generalize all the time. It's not the CIA doing this, there may be elements within that. The main mover and shaker.
Private intelligence network, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Like the old Iran-Contra, Colonel Oliver North networks, drug trade. It's always this, the drug trade, drug money laundering by casinos. Hello, Sheldon Adelson, that's Trump's main supporter. And then, of course, weapons trade. And Israel is up to its neck and above in it, as well as the Russians. Heavy, heavy drug pushers. Hezbollah, heavy drug pushers. Iran, not quite government drug pushing, but on the fringes of the periphery, definitely. I must admit, I'll give Iran credit for that. But in Libya in particular, that was an Israeli military intelligence operation in conjunction with the Grand Chessboard Master Rothschild out of the City of London, running the rat lines. As Scott Bennett has said so eloquently in his book and his interviews, coming out of the Swiss and German banking sector, the same ones are funding the Shia militias. They're also funding the $5 billion a year U.S. Extravaganza of Iran and the Persian Empire too. It's not a Shia crescent, it's a Persian Empire crescent they're building there. When you understand how the role they're playing in the One Belt Road project, you'll understand what Iran is being used for. It will become very clear to you. And remember, Iran had a big hand in Libya. Israel has a huge hand in Libya, obviously, as one of the leading roles. Let's not forget Iran and the Houthis. Who do you think supplying the weapons to the Houthis? They were admitting that to me plainly. They set that up. Iran, why should Saudi Arabia tolerate? Yemen is a very pro-Sunni, pro-Saudi country. All of a sudden, the Houthis rise up and start getting RPGs and AK-47s and start blowing up and carrying on. Well, who caused that? The Iranians are snickering about it. They are snickering. Why aren't people not? Why are we blaming Saudi? Saudi must defend its borders. They know exactly what Iran is doing. And Iran is doing that at the behest of Swiss and German banks and Israel. And I'm telling you now, you're going to have egg on your face when it becomes so clear to you what's going on. Iran needs to be slapped, and I can't wait for Mattis, the United States Marine Corps, and those F-35s to start driving Iran, the IRGC, and their little Shia militias all the way across the Euphrates and blow them to pieces and slap them in the face for what they've done. They have caused chaos and misery, and they saw Iraq go down, and they went, thank you very much. And you'll hear even Israeli commentators say, you handed Iraq. You handed Iraq to Iran. Of course they did. That was the plan. Because you've got to understand, when we say Israel, we're talking about a segment. Netanyahu represents that segment. He is part of Rothschild's private intelligence network. All his friends are a part of it. Sheldon Adelson, the whole group of people surrounding Trump. That's why we hope and pray what they call a neocon infiltration of the amazing Trump nationalist populist rise is actually a reasonable section of the U.S. military, the CIA and the FBI, who know exactly what's going on. And the reason Trump has been mouthing off so much about the FBI and the CIA may be because they are the people who have been exposing these Russian and Israeli spy rings for years, for years. So, God willing, Trump is going to be put into the right spot, because we do not need Trump to go down right now. We certainly don't want Hillary Clinton in there. But we need to assess Trump very objectively, those who surround him, and pray for Jim Mattis. Keep a close eye on Jim Mattis. We've got to keep pushing. The American people and people from outside and the rest of the world need to say, we're watching. We know what's going on. We expect the United States Marine Corps, the U.S. Armed Forces, West Point, the Pentagon, Marine Headquarters to do their job. Now, if we can get Dr. Alan Sabrowski over here, we can get a conference happening here. And when it's, God willing, inshallah, it's going to be organized here in Malaysia. If this happens, we're in the very early stages, we can get the academic face happening. Then we can ask for very specific funding, and we can get something happening very positive over here in Malaysia, because Malaysia is right in the middle of it, the Straits of Malacca with Indonesia. And when Sunni Muslims here in Indonesia find out their governments have made dalliances with the devil via China, with Israel and China working together, that their infrastructure has been infiltrated, that the new smart cities program, of which Malaysia is a part of, and Indonesia very heavily, and that technology that's going in is all Israeli. When they find out, they're going to have a fit. And I believe Dr. Mahathir Mohamad in Malaysia is going to fix that. He's already turning to Japan and slapped China in the face a little and just said, we love you, but we're not going to go along with this. So that's leverage we need to exploit. The Sunni Muslim world will not, they will tolerate quote-unquote Jew money, as was said to me by a Pakistani. We'll tolerate Jew money, but we will not tolerate Israel. No way. And that's leverage for us to exploit.
Dare I say any more about Joanne's article. I just wanted to.
Well, I agree with everything they're saying. It's just, please, we've got to identify America is not the enemy. We understand the State Department, who are making these decisions, whether it's under Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, are all Israeli first, or Jewish Zionist Bolsheviks, man. That's right. What they are.
No, I get it. I just wanted to read one more sentence out of here. Joanne says these militias that have control of Libya. These militias are made up of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, Ansar al-Sharia, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Salafist Group, and all other militia gangs of mercenary criminals stealing from and destroying Libya. And so the UN-imposed puppet government in Tripoli has joined forces with these militia groups and supports them with arms and money. And Misurata gangs have now joined forces with these militias in order to maintain their area of illegal control. Do you agree with that?
I agree that that's what's going on. But, you know, where are they getting the info from? Who's who? Someone says, I'm ISIS. Well, okay, I'll get up and say I'm a fluffy bunny. I mean, if you like. Do we then quote Brendan O'Connell is a fluffy bunny? I said, what's ISIS? Why is it in the Free Syrian Army, anyone they didn't like suddenly was ISIS? Anyone who defends their village in Afghanistan suddenly becomes an AK-47-bearing Taliban. They're just called Taliban. It's a meaningless term. We just know that running through that series is a bunch of raving, lunatic, drug-affected common criminals, also from places like Chechnya and Russia. Do not forget Russia's involvement in the breakup of Libya and Russia's direct involvement in Syria. And a lot of these gangs are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned, Chechen and Russian imposters working for Israeli military intelligence and Russian intelligence. That's the fall down in the Moriartys. Otherwise, I love their stuff. So just don't get me wrong. I'm just making a critique of the way it's being described, not their actual content.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, I don't agree with everybody on everything. But what I'm saying is we're all on the right track. We're all looking for the truth, you know. And I believe, you know, I would believe. Well, let me back up. Okay, what specifically was the reason for this conference that was held last month over in Iran? I mean, what?
I have no idea. They dribble on. I think it was a private intelligence meeting. I think Phil Giraldi is just working for American intelligence. I doubt he believes in what he's doing. It was just another wank fest, is a derogatory term we use in Australia, of intellectual masturbation. Excuse my French, but I have to use strong language, even if it's medical. I'll give an example. E. Michael Jones, I love and respect him. I've only read extracts of his work. It's very important intellectual work, but it's not going to help the cause, because Iran is designed to not actually really do anything. It just postures and postulates. I mean, the Lebanese, there's such a funny Lebanese Arabic Sunni comedian. He's hilarious. And he's just laughing at Iran. Iran and Hezbollah keep threatening Israel, but they never do anything. And he's saying they were in the Iranian parliament in their big pyramid building with the 33 windows. And there they are going, their response to the movement of the American embassy to Jerusalem. Okay, their response was they stood up and go blah, 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 in the parliament and tried to burn a photocopy of an American flag. They tried to burn it. And he's in hysterics as these clowns. I mean, they're clowns. If you did that on the floor of the Senate or the Congress, you would be locked up and put into a mental institution. And then you hear the guy say, oh, it won't burn in the translation. These clowns are burning a piece of paper of the American flag. That's their response. Their job is to hop up and down, wear their beekeeper outfits, say, look at us, we're crazy Shia revolutionaries, hop up and down on Israeli and American flags, write things like Israel should be removed from the scene. I don't know who's doing their translation, but they're very smart people. Whoever's advising them clearly works for Benjamin Netanyahu. So they goose-step, they Hitler salute, they express their worship for Adolf Hitler, and I always heard the term Islamofascist and laugh, but I'm telling you, after being there, they worship Hitler and they worship Berlin. I always said, Hajj for an Iranian is a trip to Berlin, not to Mecca. And I'm not talking about all Iranians, all right? There's obviously many, many decent, honest, and even committed to the revolution, man. I was excited to be there. I thought, well, it's not perfect, but it's got a sincere intent. But you get there and you realize that these people are a bunch of halfwits. They don't know a damn thing. They weren't interested in raising funds via the government to translate Hoffman's book, Judaism Discovered, to expose that into Farsi and Arabic. They weren't interested in subtitling Ted Pike's brilliant work, Israel, The Other Israel and Why the Mideast Bleeds. They weren't interested in doing anything in terms of translating Farsi and Arabic and reaching out to the Arab world, reaching out to the Farsi world, reaching out into the Pashtun world and Urdu in India. No, I was giving all these things we should be doing. Not interested. They weren't interested. They just wanted the same old intellectual wank, do nothing. Those things never achieve a damn thing. I can't even find the damn videos. They don't promote them. You can't hear the sound. It's done by a bunch of two-year-olds. They are incompetent. I mean, they are. They are a joke. And you have Iranians tell that to your face. We're embarrassed. We are embarrassed. It's done on purpose.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I had that problem listening to that video last night. But we're about out of time here. We're about halfway through this. When are you coming back? You know, we got off on a tangent.
After I've seen my therapist.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
We haven't even got onto Bugsy Siegel, the Las Vegas casinos, Arnold.
No, and I wanted to get into some depth about Hamas, too, and how Israel uses Hamas, and they claim to be the victims, you know, but we're almost out of time. So, you know, anytime you want to come back, you're my co-host on Friday. If you want to go to your therapist first, that's fine. Okay, I could understand.
So we've
got
to talk about the Silver Master Spy Group. We've got to talk about the
family. I know, and you've got to
talk about Rafi Eitan, you know, the Polish guy who's now living in Cuba, the number one Mossad agent involved in spy scandals in America. I mean, God, it goes on forever.
I know. All right. Well, we'll talk about it off the air. Folks, he may be back tomorrow. He may be back Wednesday. I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you absorbed at least some of this stuff. And if you didn't, go do some research. So we'll be back same time, same station tomorrow. Stay out of trouble and bye for now.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mike. Thanks to the listeners.